Father, take the words of my lips and the thoughts of our hearts, that we may learn new things of you today. Speak, Lord, for your people and your friends are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A few years ago, a member of Fedora and Claire King, who is a member of this church, did research into particularly World War I veterans, those who sadly died in conflict in World War I locally. And each year we feature at least one of those. And this year I want to talk to you about a person called Graham Humbert. He was called Ernest after his father before him. He was also a solicitor after his father before him. They lived in a house called Langley's in Queen's Drive. He was obviously quite an able boy. He went to school and then he went on to Oxford. And as I said, he followed in his father's footsteps and qualified as a solicitor in 1912 at the age of 24. In the Parish Magazine of October 1914, there was a declaration that Graham had joined up, and some rejoicing that he, along with several other local lads, had done so. And in January 1915, he, in the Parish Magazine, was congratulated on being given a commission as a second lieutenant. How wonderful! Everyone thought. 6 months later, he died. At the age of 27, he had died for his country in Gallipoli, in Turkey. Such a brilliant young life, cut short for our sake, which is why we're here today. Because that one life, Graham Humbert's life, is reflected in the thousands and the millions across the world who gave their lives for us in both world wars and in other conflicts since. And there are others who suffer the after effects, not only of literal physical wounds, but also of the emotional scars of that time and other wars since. We are rightly in awe and so thankful for their sacrifice and their families and the community's sacrifice. I sometimes think of all the women who were never married because their men didn't come back. And countless others you will know have done the same thing or have been prepared to do this. What light do these two Bible passages shed on Graham's and countless others' sacrifice? The first is one simple point, and it's taken from the book of Micah, chapter 4. The prophet is talking at a time of great turmoil in the world, and the big oppressor were the Assyrian army. Vicious deporters of significant numbers of people from their homes to a different place in a process called exile. You took away the troublemakers, you plonked them hundreds of miles away, and therefore you were able to rule their country that you had conquered without too much difficulty. But the prophet Micah speaks of a time when war will be over. War does not come from God, but from human beings and our behaviour. There will come a time, says Micah, when God will judge between many people and shall arbitrate between strong nations far away. And their response is that they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, in that wonderful metaphor. They will no longer be needed as weapons they will become agricultural tools. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. God did not plan for us to become engaged in war. We're told in Revelation chapter 1, which some of you may know, that God will one day come to be with us. He will wipe every tear from our eyes. Death will be no more, and mourning and crying and pain will similarly no longer exist. That's the vision. But we live in the mess in between. So Jesus says to his disciples, and he says to us in John 15, verse 12, love one another as I have loved you. The word he uses for love is not romantic, soppy love. It's agape, love of the heart, a feeling directed by the will, a choice to love. Because we are not all lovable. But God calls his disciples then and us now to follow this teaching, which is at the heart of the Christian gospel. To love one another with that love. Love of the heart directed by the will. And the illustration of that today is all those lives given up for friends and for country. All those people, including Graham, made a choice. I wonder what our choice would be. But we are called to choose to love each day in the small disagreements, in the larger frictions of our society and across our world. But we're called to love one another, the other part of the phrase is, as I have loved you. We follow the example of Jesus. So what is that example? Our communion today is all about that love. It celebrates the fact that God chose to love us even more than someone choosing to lay down their life for their friends. God sent Jesus to lay his life down for you and me and all, everyone, even if we ignore him, even if we declare ourselves his enemies. Romans chapter 5 says, it was while we were still sinners, God's enemies, that Christ died for us. It's a little bit like saying Graham Humbert died not for our side, but for the Germans. Christ came into the world so that you and I and all countless people in between were able to be made right with God again. Even if we refuse to even accept that he's alive. Even if in that sense we are God's enemies. At the heart of the Christian gospel is the fact that God loved us so much with this agape love that he was prepared to send his only son into this world as a human being to die an unmerited death on the cross. We rightly thank all those who made the ultimate sacrifice for us. And we remember that annually. But please also consider, as you sit here, your response to the loving God who has gone even further than Graham Humbert and all the others whose memories we cherish today, who sent his son, Jesus, to die for me and for you, even as we ignored him and continued as his enemies. Let's pray. Father, teach us how to love like this. We cannot do it in our own strength, by our own will, We need your Holy Spirit to enlarge our hearts and our minds. Teach us how to love like this, Lord. And for each of us today, would you challenge us about any unresolved conflict in our own personal lives that you would long to see reconciliation and love fill instead? Help us to respond to your sacrifice as sinners, coming in humility to you. For we ask in your name. Amen.